This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right is the sports machine Sean Levine. Producing this thing, it is Brandon Kiley. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will take a trip around the NFL. But we're talking a lot of Jalen Ramsey. The Chiefs need a corner, and the best cornerback arguably in the NFL is available. We just had Therese Paylor on the show. If you missed it, check out the podcast page. We asked him very simply, why wouldn't the Chiefs trade for a player the caliber of Jalen Ramsey? Here's what Therese had to say.
My opinion is if the Chiefs were not interested in acquiring Jalen Ramsey, who's somebody who on the field, I believe, has the ability to give this team a 94 Deion boost, right? It would be for reasons other than football, you know, concern about fitting the locker room, that type of deal. So if this is something that didn't come to pass, you know, I would assume that has something to do with it, just because, you know, as a football player, he's special, he's terrific, he's great, all that stuff, and he's still really young, and he fits actually with the timeline of your other, like, young guys, your other, like, star guys.
So this is where I'm at. And let's have this conversation. It will involve us talking about Marcus Peters that I know triggers half of Kansas City, positively or negatively. I'll never forget this quote. Bucky Brooks of NFL Network, back when the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters to the Rams, said that he thought that Wade Phillips was going to have a much easier time coaching Marcus Peters because, quote, you need a wolf to coach a wolf, and they didn't have a wolf with Bob Sutton. Think about Marcus Peters now in Los Angeles. For the first 6 weeks, he was a problem, right? He was going back and forth with Sean Payton. Remember, he got roasted in that game against the Saints. I don't know about you guys. I haven't heard anything from Marcus Peters in about 7 months. Not after the Super Bowl, not so far this season. He also is in line to get a new contract. Haven't heard him complain about a new contract. Marcus Peters, for the last 8 months, has been, quote-unquote, a model citizen for the Los Angeles Rams. Probably even longer than that. If your organization is not willing to absorb talented players who maybe appear to come off as a nuisance, then I think you are severely limiting what your ceiling can be. What I appreciate most about the Patriots, they always bet on the culture that they've created. They always bet that once you come in the locker room and you're around Brady and you see all the trophies and you know the history of winning and you're around Belichick, you will fall in line and push in the exact same direction. And if you don't push in the same direction, then you're out of here. Like, we all know that's the deal they made with Antonio Brown. Hey, we think you're talented. We'll put up with some of the stuff. But we are about winning championships here. And if that's not your goal, then we will not have you on our team long term. We have no problem with releasing you and getting you off the team. So you better play ball or you're out of here in this. If your organization is not willing to take on players like Talib or Michael Bennett or Marcus Peters or Ndamukong Suh or Antonio Brown, again, it just limits your ceiling of greatness that you can accomplish. This is what good organizations and good, well-run organizations do. They take smart risk on players like Jalen Ramsey, and they bring them into their culture, and they can turn them into the kind of players that they want. I don't know why we're not factoring in that the Chiefs could do that with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey was fine in 2017 when Jacksonville was winning. It didn't become a problem until 2018 when Blake Bortles threw 13 touchdown passes. It didn't become a problem this year until he and Doug Marrone don't appear to be on the same page, and they lost Nick Foles. Like, I think we are completely overselling Jalen Ramsey's effect in the locker room.
That happens a lot, guys. You don't hear him complain because they're happy when they're winning, and he's not winning right now in Jacksonville. But he could go from a team that's 0-2 to a team that's 2-0. He could go to a team that's quarterbacked by one Gardner Minshew to a team that's quarterbacked by one Patrick Mahomes. So you would think that he would love the opportunity to go from Jacksonville, a team that's probably going to pick in the top 10, to Kansas City, who has Super Bowl aspirations. When you talk about him being a cancer, a malcontent in the locker room, maybe in 25 other locker rooms, not in this one. Like, that's not a concern of mine. If you made me list my order of concerns when it comes to Jalen Ramsey, don't get it twisted, I would run to make this deal. It probably goes one, the draft compensation slash the money and the years, because it's a real commitment. It's not just getting him for the next couple of years. You'd have to re-sign him. Two, because you'd essentially be saying bye-bye to Chris Jones. To me, it's one or the other. And three, if we're making a list, would be attitude. I'm not saying that this guy's a perfect choir boy, but you come into this locker room with this type of leadership on both sides of the ball and Andy Reid as the head coach, the culture here might not be what it is in New England, but it's certainly projecting that way. I'm not at all concerned with the person that is Jalen Ramsey when you can get the player that is Jalen Ramsey.
Text line 69306, great point, but it's a lot easier for the Patriots to do that because they win. Text line 69306, the Patriots have how many Super Bowls? What is the culture here? We just saw the Rams do this last season. The Rams do it with Sean McVay, who's been coaching, what, for 18 months with Wade Phillips, who was a failed head coach. They absorbed all these players. All of us were looking at the Rams last year like, man, I don't know. I don't know if you can get all those personalities to work last year. They went to the Super Bowl last year. Seattle would trade for Jalen Ramsey. If you have a strong organization with a strong quarterback, like I believe the Chiefs have in Kansas City, and a really good head coach like they have in Kansas City, I just don't think this stuff is the problem that people make it out to be. If Jalen Ramsey can't come in this situation and ball out with a chance to play for the Super Bowl and then play on the biggest stage, he's just not the competitor that I think he is. I think that too many times we put all these guys in the same box. When I think Jalen Ramsey's issue, and this is going to sound really corny, I just think he's too competitive. You know how some people who they just get so mad whenever things don't go how they think it is and they're just like a nuisance to deal with? That's what I think Jalen Ramsey is. Like, I hate this notion that he's this trouble player. What has Jalen Ramsey done? Never been in trouble off the field, never had any problem with teammates. His issue has been, hey, I'm the best man corner in the NFL and you guys don't use me that way. That's a problem? Like, that's just not a problem to me.
So if it's risk versus reward, what's the risk the Chiefs are taking? Essentially, they'd probably be saying bye to Chris Jones. They'd be locking this guy up, probably making him the highest paid cornerback for the next few years. We obviously all know that they're going to figure it out with Patrick Mahomes. I don't necessarily see the risk besides the stuff that we're talking about right now in the locker room. And the reward is this. You get the best cornerback in football for the biggest need that this team has in a year that you think you're going to win the Super Bowl. A lot of people thought last year the reason the Chiefs didn't end up winning the Lombardi Trophy and having a parade like the Royals did was because of the Marcus Peters trade a couple of years before, was because they were so bad at cornerback. And I'm down with that argument. It essentially cost them, at least in a vacuum, that playoff game versus the Patriots. Now they've got an opportunity. They've got the money available, and they've certainly got the need at the position. This is more obvious than Johnny Cueto. When Johnny Cueto became available, I was like, eh, everybody's going to talk about it, but it's not actually going to happen. And then it did. This is even more glaringly obvious than that.
Sita, you love the say it aloud test, right? Yep. We do this all the time. The say it aloud test is very simple. You say it out loud and you see if it makes sense. The Chiefs, maybe their only glaring weakness, I could argue, because I think their linebackers, if we're like kind of going in a macro sense, have been a lot better this year than I expected them to be, certainly against the run. Their biggest weakness is the cornerback position. The best cornerback in football, who is under 30 and would play the entire contract that he's here in Kansas City, even if they were to re-sign him, under 30 years old, just became available. The Chiefs are a Super Bowl contender, and this is their biggest weakness. And this guy is available. Like, the say it out loud test is, that's obvious. You make that move 100 times out of 100. And so the fact that they are, it sounds like, based on every report we've heard today, anybody that has reported anything seems to indicate that the Chiefs are not interested in Jalen Ramsey. Anybody who wants the Chiefs to go get Jalen Ramsey has seemingly said they should go get Jalen Ramsey. So there's a disconnect there that something clearly is going on here. And I don't understand it, C-Doc, because the say it aloud test is exactly what we've been talking about all day. It makes all the sense in the world for the Chiefs to be the team that goes to get him, but they clearly see something here that's different.
But I actually understand some of it. I don't understand all of it. I understand some of it. Let me explain. If the Chiefs' argument is, we don't want to give up two first-round picks, because let's say that they trade for Jalen Ramsey and they give up their 2020 first and their 2021 first. That means they will go four consecutive years without selecting in the first round. So their last first-round pick would have been Mahomes. Obviously, in 2018, they didn't have a draft pick. Last year, they didn't have one because of Frank Clark. And then next year, the next 2 years, they wouldn't have a first-round pick. If that's the conversation they're having in their offices of, hey, we like Jalen Ramsey, but we don't want to give up that much draft capital to go acquire the player, that would make sense to me. If their next argument is, we don't want to trade the draft pick compensation to then make him the highest paid corner, and we rather keep Chris Jones, That's an argument I can understand. I don't disagree with it. I don't agree with it, but that's an argument I can understand. But the argument that I'm hearing is, we don't like him as a person, so we don't want him in the locker room. What? Again, trust the culture that you've created. Trust the veteran leaders on your team. And if your team is not built in a way that can absorb a player like Jalen Ramsey, then your team's not nearly as good as I think. Because we agree, Jalen Ramsey is going to go to a good team. One of those good teams that has a chance to go to a Super Bowl is going to say it's worth it to us. Whether it's Seattle, whether it's Philadelphia, you take a pick. But he is not going to go to a bad team. One of the good teams that have the chance to win a Super Bowl is going to be the team that packages the picks to go do it. And in the end, I would guess we're going to look at it and say, man, I wish the Chiefs had made that trade. Whenever we see what happens and then the Eagles get them for a 1-3, I think the consensus in Kansas City is going to be, I wish the Chiefs had made this trade. So again, if it's about draft picks, I understand. If it's about the money, I understand. If it's about Jalen Ramsey's personality, that's stupid. There's no other way to put it. If it's about Jalen Ramsey's personality and your quote-unquote concerns that he couldn't fit in the locker room, that's a dumb opinion.
And the waiting game is stupid, too. And I understand that Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's really good and cheap, became available after 1 week. And Jalen Ramsey, who's really, really good, like the best cornerback in all of football, became available after week two. In theory, guys are going to keep becoming available, giving the Chiefs some options. But not this guy. This guy's the best cornerback in all of football. Maybe, and I don't think this is a situation, C-Dot, the Chiefs view him as a luxury. And they think, you know what, we're okay. We can wait. We don't need to go with what's probably going to end up being the most expensive move, and we could get somebody else as this goes along. I wouldn't do that. I think it's risky. You have to be proactive and not reactive if you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And if the best cornerback in the market, the best cornerback in football is available, you might want to go get him.
Text line 69306. I've been following this all day, and you guys are the only ones making a big fuss about him being a locker room problem. You guys are creating this fake issue. You guys trust Jeff Chedia, right, of NFL Network? Like, we agree he's a credible source, right? Mm-hmm. BK, we agree?
Yeah, of course.
This is from Jeff Chedia. Chief source says the team is not interested in Jalen Ramsey now that he wants a trade. Source says that the team locker room is, quote, too good right now. What else does that mean other than concerns about his ability to fit into the locker room? I didn't make that up. Jeff Chedia said that. Came directly from a Chiefs source.
Therese didn't report this, but his opinion was, if the Chiefs aren't interested in Jalen Ramsey, there would only be one reason why. And his reason, his explanation was, well, the locker room stuff could be real. And then he followed that up by saying, we are going to know if and when Jalen Ramsey is traded, just how much of an issue it was around the league, not just in Kansas City, but around the league, based on the compensation that he gets. Because if he were available and didn't have these issues, it would be something like 2 firsts and a 3rd that he would be traded for, because he's that good of a football player.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will take a trip around the NFL. We are seeing a Hall of Fame career come to an end. We'll tell you who that is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up at 4:30, we'll get back into the Jalen Ramsey conversation. I want to share a stat with you guys very quickly. Last season, Jalen Ramsey went up against Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Tyreek Hill, Odell Beckham. He allowed a 69 passer rating. The rest of the NFL, when they went against those five wide receivers, had a 104 rating. I don't know if you can truly be a lockdown corner in 2019 because of the rules, but Jalen Ramsey is as close to it as you can get. I think that Jalen Ramsey is one of the best 10 defensive players in the NFL.
Then what the hell happened week one versus Sammy Watkins? Don't get it twisted. I want Jalen Ramsey too, but he absolutely got torched in week one versus Sammy.
I mean, we also got to say on the flip side of, he guarded DeAndre Hopkins last week and he gave up 4 catches for less than 70 yards. I mean, he was fantastic last week against DeAndre Hopkins, who we agree is better than Sammy Watkins, right?
Yeah. But Sammy Watkins went out there and did that to him. So again, I would love to have Jalen Ramsey on this football team, but I don't know if he's a shutdown quarterback.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
He's not, then one doesn't exist.
Yeah,
I don't think they do exist.
Sure, I'm just saying, like, he is as close to one as you can get in 2019, and if he's not, then they're just that creature doesn't exist today.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Jalen Ramsey conversation. But, BK, let's go around the NFL.
It's time to go around the NFL on The Drive.
Let's start in New York, where there is a new quarterback for the Jets. Here's Chris Mortensen on why the move was made to bench Eli Manning in favor of Daniel Jones.
Eli's not getting benched because of his play in the first 2 weeks of the season. He's getting benched because that defense and that team is not a playoff contender. And so, therefore, I think that Shurmur feels like, you know, let's get on with the business of Daniel Jones.
That was Chris Mortensen, audio courtesy of ESPN. C.Dot, Eli Manning's record is now 116-116, officially at 500 as a starter. He has the same career quarterback rating as Joe Flacco. Is this officially the end of any Hall of Fame conversation for our guy Eli?
No, it's not the end of any Hall of Fame conversation because Eli Manning is going in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is guilty of just staying for 2 years too long. Eli Manning should have retired 2 years ago. It's over if you're Eli Manning. You're not winning a Super Bowl. You're probably not going to a playoff game. If you want to stay in New York, some of that's your fault. Some of that's the offensive line and the parts that they've put around you. You've had an incredible run. I saw a story that said he has a no trade clause. They don't think he's going to demand a trade. He has four kids under eight. He's lived in New York and New Jersey his entire adult professional life. He's not moving anywhere. Eli should retire this week. Eli should come out and say, the next game at Giant Stadium that we have is going to be my last home game. I want to go out and I want to thank the crowd, and I'm going to retire during the season. It's over if you're Eli Manning. They drafted a quarterback in the top 10. They clearly want him to be the starter, that unless he is injured, he's going to be the starter. It's over if you're Eli.
There should be a different, like, branch of the Hall of Fame for guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, and then these other guys from the same era that are going to end up making the Hall of Fame, like Eli Manning, eventually probably Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers. It's the era of the quarterback. We're putting guys in because of longevity. But the truth is, Eli Manning did win two Super Bowls, and it's not just that. It's who he beat, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So I agree with you, BK. He probably doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but I agree with C.Dot more. He's absolutely going to end up there.
No, I agree with both of you on that. I just think it's absurd that we've arrived at a place where it is so important for the rings with three Z's for a quarterback that Eli Manning's going to get into the Hall of Fame. It's insane to me. If Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl this year with the Broncos, like, it's not going to happen because the Broncos stink. But if Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with the Broncos this year, are we really going to argue that Joe Flacco is a Hall of Famer?
I would argue this
basically
for
been the same
Eli.
Player.
I'd argue this for Eli. I think you get in the Hall of Fame for a couple different reasons. Regular season dominance, accolades, or postseason excellence. I think that Eli Manning has been incredible in two separate postseason runs, that only one quarterback in the history of the NFL that has two Super Bowl rings is not in the Hall of Fame. Like, I think Eli's getting in. I'm with you. There hasn't been many times that I looked at Eli and thought that he was a top five quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's ever been, quote unquote, an elite quarterback in the NFL. He's just been a good quarterback for a long time. He played in the greatest pro football game of my life. Like, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
His offense scored 17 points in that game. It's so stupid that we do this to ourselves. In the other Super Bowl that he won, they scored 21 points and he had one touchdown. It's absurd.
He had that great throw to Mario Manningham, though, on the sideline.
David Tyree bailed him out. This is ridiculous.
Eli didn't make plays in those games. He made multiple plays in those games.
Keep it going around the NFL. There are some surprise 2-0 teams in the NFL, and it could mean some surprise playoff teams in the NFL this year. This is a good stat from our own Carrington Harrison. He doesn't have many of them, but he did come up with this one. 72% of teams that start the season 2-0 end up making the playoffs this year thus far. The teams that would apply to is the Patriots, no surprise, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. C.Dot, I think the big surprises on this list for most people would be the Bills and the 49ers. Do you think both of those teams, or at least one of them, ultimately end up making the playoffs this year?
Number one, you normally just take all my stats and try to repackage them as your own. So I'm not even counting anything that
you
said.
Don't act like you pulled out the abacus and did the math yourself for this stat. You found it on the internet somewhere.
That's true. 100%.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, I went on the internet to find and compile the stat for myself.
You compiled it or you Googled it and saw it with somebody else grabbed?
A little cut and paste job.
No, I definitely cut and pasted.
That's all right.
I definitely cut and pasted. I would say Bills make the playoffs, no on the Niners.
The NFC West is probably the best division in football right now. The Rams are 2-0, the 49ers are 2-0, the Seahawks are 2-0, and the Cardinals are 0-1-1, so you can do the math. Pretty impressive. I don't know if the 49ers end up making the playoffs when it's all said and done, although Jimmy Garoppolo looks much better than I expected, at least through the first couple of games. The Bills probably are going to end up making the postseason. Not because I believe in the Bills at all, because everybody else has fallen to the wayside. We agree the Patriots are going to end up winning the AFC East. When we talk about the other possible playoff teams, we're talking about the family of the Chargers, the Browns, the Texans, the Titans. There's no reason that a team like the Buffalo Bills doesn't belong there, especially because they're already 2-0. The king of New York, BK, they've already beat both the Jets and the Giants.
BK,
really crappy football teams right there.
BK, really quickly, do you think that Julian Edelman makes the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay, I was just curious. Someone said Julian Edelman's going to go to the Hall of Fame, so is Eli. I just was curious if you thought so.
No, I don't think Julian Edelman will go into the Hall of Fame, and I don't think Eli Manning should go into the Hall of Fame. But another discussion for another day.
Real quick before we move on, I'm going to try to avoid this argument. It's hard to make the argument, well, who did they beat, if I don't think there's many good teams in the NFL. Sure. I feel like that's what we're doing right now. Oh, man, this team only beat team X, Y, and Z. It's like seven good teams in the NFL. So unless you beat Kansas City, New England, like those are the only wins that count in the NFL anymore. Like, I'm sorry, that argument to be, we just purposely do it because
I just need you to have a starting quarterback. Like, I don't need you to be a great team. Beat a team with a solid starting quarterback.
Because a team like Cleveland, let's say that Cleveland had won their first two games and they beat Tennessee.
We'd
say
the same thing
against Cleveland. Like, we'd be saying, oh, well, they beat the Tennessee Titans. They're not good. Well, it's only two good teams in the AFC. Like, you got to play the other 14 teams in the AFC. So, like, that argument of who's not good, there's only like six good teams in the NFL out of the 32 teams.
You might not like it, but you look at the AFC, we're 2 weeks in, and there's only four teams that are undefeated. Everybody else is 500 or they haven't won a game. The undefeated teams in the AFC, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Bills. So you might not like it, but the records tell us, at least in the AFC through 2 weeks, yeah, there's only four good teams.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think Houston's good, even though they're not an undefeated football team. I just think this season we're going to poke holes in everybody's win and then acknowledge that there's not that many good teams, that you can't do both is, I think, the problem in the NFL. We got one more?
We can do this one quickly because it is kind of locally relevant for you guys. The big story of the NFL season thus far is Lamar Jackson. On Sunday, he became the second quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 200 yards and rush for 120 yards in the same game. Here is John Harbaugh talking about his quarterback.
This league has a lot of smart people and a lot of great players. And as Lamar well knows, they'll be chasing our scheme. We'll play one of the best teams in the league next week in Kansas City. The stadium will be rocking. It'll be deafening. And we're going to have to be a much better football team next week than we have been last week.
So that was John Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson yesterday. CDOT, how impressed have you been thus far with Lamar Jackson? And did we write him off too early as one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks that could ultimately be the one that goes up against Patrick Mahomes moving forward?
I am cautiously buying into Lamar Jackson. Sometimes I think people are afraid to move off their original stance. I thought that Baker was going to be a lot better. I thought he was going to look the way that Lamar Jackson has looked so far. That hasn't been the case. Lamar Jackson just appears to be a more comfortable passer this year. I'm buying some stock in Lamar Jackson.
Through 2 weeks, CDOT, there's only three quarterbacks that have thrown for seven NFL touchdowns. I'll give you one. Dak Prescott. You know who the other two are?
Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
Looking forward to this game. You could argue the two best young quarterbacks going in football Sunday at Arrowhead.
Coming up in just a little bit, adding Jalen Ramsey has as much to do about improving the Chiefs as it has to do with beating the New England Patriots. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I want to read this text really quickly before we get back into this. Text line 69306. Lamar Jackson has fool's gold written all over him. So does the entire Ravens team. This is where I think that first impressions are just so valuable. And it's hard once you show people something early in your career. It's very difficult for people to ever move away from it. If Baker Mayfield had the start that Lamar Jackson has, it would be the biggest story in the NFL. It would be. Like, based on the hype that Cleveland had at the beginning of the season, Baker's number one overall pick, and how he talks, it would be the biggest story in the NFL. People are very slow to come around with Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't think he's seven touchdown in two games good. I don't think he's the passer that Patrick Mahomes is. But Lamar Jackson's probably going to throw for 30 touchdown passes this season or pretty close and probably run for 700, 800 yards. Like, he's evolved into an efficient passer. Last year, he completed less than 60% of his passes. This year, he's at 72%. Like, It's just hard to argue that Lamar Jackson's not better this year than he was last year.
I don't think we can judge what he's done through the first two games the same way I don't think we can judge his team through the first two games. They've played Arizona and Miami and just beat the hell out of them to a tune of 82-27. If you want to argue with me that Baltimore is the third best team in the AFC right now, I'm fine with that. The way they've played, that's certainly a good argument. But I'm not sure how complete of a football team they are, and I'm not sure how good Lamar Jackson is. I agree with you. I think we've probably made too much out of Baker Mayfield a little bit too early, maybe even Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. If we're talking about young quarterbacks in the NFL and we're projecting what we think they're going to be the next few years, maybe we should have had Lamar Jackson a little bit higher up in the conversation.
Are we going to do the same thing if he plays well against the Chiefs? That's all I want to know with Lamar Jackson. I understand that their defense isn't the greatest, and they don't have to win the game. But if Lamar comes in here and throws for 300 yards and runs for 75 yards, are we going to do this while they still haven't played a good defense game?
No,
I just want to make sure we're asking the question about Lamar Jackson.
You're right. The Chiefs don't have a great defense. If Lamar Jackson, under any circumstances, comes into Arrowhead and beats a Kansas City Chiefs.
No, not beats him. If they're I don't know if the expectation for any team in the NFL has to be to come into Arrowhead and win, because I don't think you're doing that. They're not losing to any team at home. But if this is a 27-24 game and Lamar and Patrick Mahomes are going back and forth and they lose the game, my stance on Monday is not going to be, oh, well, Ravens aren't for real. They didn't win at Arrowhead. Nobody's winning at Arrowhead this year.
I'm with you. It's just tough to decide through the first couple of weeks who the really good teams in the AFC are besides the Chiefs and the Patriots. Maybe it is Baltimore. We're going to find out a lot about the Ravens. We're going to find out a lot about the Chiefs. The truth is, the first couple of weeks, the Chiefs went on the road against teams that are probably going to end up picking in the top 10 of next year's draft. I saw Jacksonville. They're terrible. I saw Oakland. They're not that good. So we're going to find out not just about Baltimore when they come into Arrowhead, but I think we're going to find out a lot about Kansas City.
We look at the AFC right now. We all can come to the same conclusion that there are two really good teams, the Chiefs and the Patriots. And the Patriots have already made their big-time move. Now, maybe they make another one between now and the October 30th deadline, but they've made a pretty massive move. Antonio Brown is still one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL. Now, granted, they played the Dolphins in week two of the NFL season, but Antonio Brown just showed up, but they were clearly trying to work him in, and there was one sequence in the red zone. They threw the ball to him three straight times. I think they were trying to force chemistry with him and Brady, just trying to get him on the same page, and they're certainly going to have time to develop that over the course of the regular season. The move to go get Jalen Ramsey or another top-flight corner is as much about improving your own roster and building the best 53-man roster that you can. It also has to be to counteract and balance what the Patriots did. You are not defending Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, and Josh Gordon with the three corners that you have now, and Mo Claiborne is not tipping the scale if he's going one-on-one up against any three of those corners. I like Mo Claiborne, but let's be honest here. If we are talking about Patriots wide receivers and doing Chiefs cornerbacks in a check-the-boxes tail of the tape, that might be the biggest mismatch on the field, to be completely honest. So improving this team's defense and improving their cornerback group is about making your team the best it can be and setting yourself up to win not just one Super Bowl, but two or three of these, and really giving yourself a chance to have a dynasty. It's as much with the arms race that has to exist between you and the Patriots. The same way we see in baseball that whenever Houston makes a move, that means Kansas City's got to make a move, and then Toronto's got to make a move because you're trying to keep up with the other teams in the AL. The exact same thing needs to be happening in the AFC. The Patriots made maybe the biggest move we'll see during the regular season. The Chiefs have to do something very similar.
Yeah, through the first couple of weeks, the Patriots got a lot better. They added Antonio Brown. The Chiefs got a lot worse, and that was because of injury, and they lost Tyreek Hill for 4 to 6 weeks. BK, is there any chance, and I should probably know this, any chance the Patriots could land Jalen Ramsey? That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I mean, they could. Jalen Ramsey is cheap right now. That's the thing that people need to remember. Like, as of today, Jalen Ramsey's on his rookie deal. Now, he's probably going to be expecting that he's going to get paid whenever a new team lands him and they're going to give up whatever assets ultimately they have to give in terms of the draft picks to the Jaguars. But as of today, he is really a cheap player. I think it's like $3 or $4 million. So almost any team in the league could take Jalen Ramsey on as of today with his contract. It's just a matter of being able to give up the compensation that you're going to have to give when it comes to the draft.
And that being said, for the Chiefs, they could afford pretty much whatever they want to do. They've got $20-plus million available. The question is, CDOT, do they want to commit to Jalen Ramsey long-term? Because even though he's on contract this year and next year at a relatively cheap price, He ain't coming here for a year and change. He's coming here for the long term.
If you're not going to get Ramsey, like, I don't want to make it seem like it's Ramsey or bust. There's other good corners in the NFL. Now, there's no other. I don't think there's that many better corners than Jalen Ramsey, but there's other good corners. The Patriots made a massive move to go acquire Antonio Brown. The Chiefs need to counter and make another massive move. So whether that's Ramsey, whether it's Peterson, whether it's Xavier Howard, whether it's Darius Slay from the Lions, they made a massive A-plus kind of move. Now, they didn't have to give up two first-round picks to get him, but we agree Antonio Brown tips the balance in their favor. The biggest reason why people are picking the Patriots over the Chiefs is the addition of Antonio Brown. You need to find a way to neutralize it. Mo Claiborne is not neutralizing it. Charvarius Ward is not neutralizing it. Jalen Ramsey can. Patrick Peterson can. Xavier Howard can. Darius Slay from the Lions can. Those are the kind of moves you need to be thinking about.
The problem with Peterson and Norman and Slay and Howard and all these other guys is the same thing. They're not available right now. Maybe they will be, but that is a hell of a risk to take if you're a team that's on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, that needs a cornerback, that has the money available, and the best cornerback in the entire NFL by some sort of a miracle is available after 2 weeks. The Chiefs would be insane not to try everything they possibly can to land Jalen Ramsey.
We also just have to go back. Like, everybody talks, makes the Cueto and Zobrist moves. Like, we don't talk about all the other moves. Now, granted, they didn't work the way that the Royals made it work. But remember, David Price got traded for during that same offseason. Troy Tulowitzki got traded during that time frame. Like, other teams in the American League were gearing up because they all knew that it was going to be a collision course to have to play each other. So you had to position your team in a way to give you a chance. That's the same thing that needs to happen. Everybody can identify who the two best teams in the AFC is. New England threw the first punch. Acquiring Antonio Brown is the first punch. That could be the difference between them hosting the AFC Championship game and going on the road to Arrowhead. What's going to be the counter for the Kansas City Chiefs? Because Kendall Fuller, Bashaud Breeland, Charvarius Ward, and Mo Claiborne, that's not enough to go up against with what the Patriots have.
You don't think those guys are stopping Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and the great Antonio Brown?
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't either. So the Chiefs are going to have to make a move, and the best move they can make is available right now. It's also the most expensive. Some people might say it also involves some risk with all the locker room stuff, which is not a concern of mine. I'm going to throw that out there. But the Chiefs would be foolish not to at least put every resource they have available to make the phone call. Even if they want a player, like if there's a player that we want, DeMarcus Robinson, a couple of draft picks, you absolutely have to at least make the phone call when a guy like Jalen Ramsey becomes available.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. BK says that he knows what Brett Veach's plan is at cornerback. No one seems to know. We've got exclusive information right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. This audio is courtesy of Diana Rossini of ESPN.
I have reached out to the Eagles. They have told me we're happy with the men we have on our team right now. So, again, everybody says the same thing to me right now. This can all change. The Chiefs right now, from what I can gather, are not in. Are not in. Could that change? Yes. The Seattle Seahawks, at this point, are not in. This could change, though.
Are we seeing anyone report that the Chiefs are in on Jalen Ramsey?
You sound like a robot. No, but I haven't seen anybody. It seems like, well, the fans are, and you are, and I am, and BK is. It seems really obvious, but for some reason, no, it seems like a lot of the talking heads are anti-Jalen Ramsey to the Chiefs.
I wouldn't even call it talking heads. Like, I don't think that's what Therese is. I think Therese is a reporter. Like, Therese is reporting that the Chiefs aren't that interested, that they're not going to really press hard. Jeff Chidea, I wouldn't consider him a talking head. He's a reporter saying they're not that in. Nate Taylor saying the exact same thing. Diana Rossini from ESPN, a reporter, saying the exact same thing. Like,
show she's me not a talking head. She's a reporter.
Like, show me somebody that's reporting that the Chiefs are that interested in him. Like, I haven't seen the interest I would anticipate it for Jalen Ramsey. If you had told me at the beginning of the season that Jalen Ramsey would be available and the Chiefs have the capital and the cap space to go get him, that seems like a player they would be interested in. Everybody that knows anything about it is telling you the opposite. Like, yeah, they're not in right now. Now, obviously, things can change. I do want to know, and I wish Therese could have maybe, like, answered it a little bit better. And I understand that he's, like, reporting and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if it's the fit that the Chiefs run a lot of zone and he wants to play man. I wonder if it's his personality and questions about fit in the locker room, or I wonder if it's due that not only do you have to trade the draft pick compensation, he's also going to want a new contract at the end of the season. Like, I wish we had a little bit better understanding of why exactly they're not in on Jalen Ramsey.
My concern would be more the draft compensation you'd be giving up opposed to him coming into a locker room. My concern for that is a zero on a scale of 1 to 10. You're coming into a locker room that has Super Bowl aspirations, that has leadership, veteran leadership on both sides of the ball, that has Andy Reid as the head coach, and Jalen Ramsey would be going from a situation where his team is 0-2 with no hope of probably even making the playoffs, quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew, to a team that thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes. You talk about a guy that would be motivated, you would think this would be the exact situation that he would want to land in.
Yeah, the draft pick compensation is substantial, and then you factor. So I wonder if teams like the Eagles and the Seahawks and the Chiefs are not in it for, if we just had to trade the draft pick compensation, maybe that's something we would consider. But we also know that at the end of the season, Jalen Ramsey is going to demand a new contract. Like, he's going to be in the exact same situation that Ezekiel Elliott is in. He's going to still be under contract, but I don't think he's coming to work unless you give him a new contract. So I wonder if it's a, hey, this is what you guys want. We're not interested in doing it, but if the price changes anytime, call us back and we can do so. Like Jeff Chedid's report that says, unless something changes like the contract, we're not interested in Jalen Ramsey. I think it comes off like a majority of it is the contract, and we just don't want to pay him that much money. Because he's going to get, what, $590, $595? Like, he's going to get paid like Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham.
A decision could come down here really quick, and I mean really quick, on Jalen Ramsey wherever he goes, because they play on Thursday night. And I would be surprised if he's not traded by then if he suits up for Jacksonville. Something tells me they'll have him on the sidelines in street clothes, because at that point, what do you have to gain? Another thing we probably haven't given enough credit to is this is probably an either-or for the Chiefs going forward. It's not Jalen Ramsey and Chris Jones. It's Jalen Ramsey or Chris Jones. And to me, that's a no-brainer. Chris Jones is a really good football player, still on a rookie contract. Same thing with Jalen Ramsey. But Jalen Ramsey is much more established. He might be the best cornerback in all of football. So if we're talking about having one or the other for the next 3 or 4 years, I just as well assume I have Jalen Ramsey.
Let's go around the room. Do you think Jalen Ramsey plays Thursday for Jacksonville?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I think
he might still be on the roster, but I don't think he's active on Thursday night.
I do think he plays.
The way that things have been going down with these trades, like Minka Fitzpatrick, he wanted to trade, and then 72 hours later, he was gone. Antonio Brown wanted to trade, and like the next day, he was a Patriot. These things happen really quick in the NFL. It's a 16-game schedule. It's a very fluid process. So either he gets traded or he doesn't play. But if you're Jacksonville, why in the hell would you play him? Best case scenario, what? Worst case scenario, Earl Thomas, he breaks his leg and you don't get anything back for him. So I'd be shocked if he's in a Jacksonville uniform and playing on Thursday night.
BK, correct me if I'm wrong here. When was the last time that scenario that you guys have presented happened? Maybe I'm missing a player.
This is just a really unique situation, because like a lot of what we're talking about right now, a player that is 24 years old, is on his rookie deal, still has 2 years left on that rookie deal, and is an all-pro corner. Like, all of this is unprecedented. What we're talking about right now is ridiculous. Jalen Ramsey shouldn't be available. This guy should never become available, because in the NFL, when you go to your team, you're typically there for at least the first 4 years. And when you're a first-round pick, you're typically there, if you're good, for the first 5 years. Things are changing in the league now. So, like, as much as I'm with you, we haven't seen much of evidence of this in the past.
BK, I hope the Chiefs recognize what you do.
This in the past.
I hope the Chiefs recognize that this is a Haley's Comet situation that comes along once in a however long Haley's Comet comes around, and they've got the money available. They've got the position of need. We were talking about this earlier. There's not that many holes on this team. Offensively, they're as close to perfect as you can get. On the defense, they've made a lot of moves, free agent trade, and the draft. The only real glaring hole is at cornerback, and the best cornerback in the NFL somehow, some way, is available. What am I missing here?
Well, two things. Let's finish the conversation we were just having. I can't name the player. Like, asking for the trade and them saying, all right, hey, even though you're under contract from us, we're going to just make you inactive until we make the trade. If the Chiefs aren't in the trade, the Eagles aren't in the trade, and the Seahawks are in the trade, teams we think are playoff kind of teams, if they're not willing to give that compensation, Jalen Ramsey's not getting traded in the next 48 hours. Like, they played Thursday night football. It's Tuesday. Jalen Ramsey is not getting traded in the next 2 days. If the teams that make the most sense, Seattle would make a lot of sense. Kansas City would make a lot of sense. The Eagles make a lot of sense.
There were reportedly, though, offers. Like, there was the report that there's an NFC team that's sent out a player and a first-round pick, and an AFC team that's like a first-round pick and a fifth-round pick.
There's going to be 25 teams that are interested after 2 weeks in Jalen Ramsey.
But if they're asking for a If they're asking for two ones and your best offer is a one and a three, then I'm not doing it. Like, If I'm selling my MacBook for $1,000 and you tell me you give me $600, but the price is $1,000, unless I get $1,000 or $900, I'm not selling it. So if you are steadfast on, I'm not negotiating with you about Jalen Ramsey unless I get two number one picks, and you call me and say, hey, I'm interested, but I've got a one and a four, well, that's not the price. So the Chiefs maybe have called about Jalen Ramsey, but hey, we're not doing that. We're happy to give you the one. We're not giving you two number ones. That's what it seems like. I mean, these are smart organizations. Seattle won a Super Bowl recently. The Eagles won a Super Bowl recently. The Chiefs, a Super Bowl caliber team. Three teams we just heard on the record from Diana Rossini, the same person that talked about the compensation, says they're not interested. Therese says they're not interested. Who is interested in Jalen Ramsey? Like, who do we think has put a who's put a solid offer that comes close to what we think Jacksonville is asking for Jalen Ramsey? Because those teams would make the most amount of sense.
If I'm the Chiefs, I sweeten the pie a little bit and recognize that this type of player does not come along very often and that you could really use him. We make the comparison a lot to Johnny Cueto. That's what this is. This is the get you over the hump, and it's just right there for the Chiefs to make. So if I'm them, sometimes you have to overpay for things, man, in football and in life. It's like when you're out at Arrowhead Stadium. Nachos shouldn't cost $14, but you don't have another choice. If you're in Las Vegas and you want to sleep in a room, you got to pay $200 for a hotel room. Sometimes you get overcharged. So if I'm the Chiefs, I recognize just how badly I need a cornerback. You don't need to get the best cornerback in football to win a Super Bowl, but it's pretty nice if you can, and that guy's actually available. We keep having the conversation about the same name, Xavier Howard and Patrick Peterson. Maybe. That's a big maybe. That's a big if. Those guys are going to come available. Jalen Ramsey actually is available right now.
And to see that, to kind of go back to your point about how it would be surprising if they held him out in this game, I'm with you, but it kind of reminds me of the conversation that we were having this offseason about Patrick Mahomes. Like, we look to history for all of what we're going to see in the future, right? And I'm with you on that. I do that a lot. Sometimes there's just no precedent for it. And in this situation, correct me if you guys think I'm wrong here, I can't think of a precedent, not just for him not playing on Thursday, but for everything we're seeing. We're 2 weeks into the season. Like, it's not like we're in week eight and the trade deadline is this weekend and all of a sudden an all-pro cornerback becomes available. That maybe has happened before. And most of the time, that guy's like 31 or 32. We're talking about a guy who's 24 years old in the second week of the NFL season, a former and probably future all-pro level player who's going to become the highest paid cornerback in the NFL, becoming available because he demanded a trade. None of this has any precedent, just like none of what we were talking about this summer with Patrick Mahomes had any precedent. So it's hard for me to answer your question with anything firm of when was the last time we've seen this. I don't know, because I don't know that we've ever seen this situation happen before.
I guess my point is, I think what you're describing happens way more in the NBA, like with Anthony Davis, that in the NFL, if you're going to be healthy and you're not holding out, teams just play you. It was clear that Seattle was shopping Earl Thomas. They supposedly had a deal on the table with the Kansas City Chiefs. As long as Earl Thomas was going to keep showing up to the facility, they were going to keep playing Earl Thomas until the moment they trade him. Minkah Fitzpatrick asked for a trade. He very easily could have got hurt on Sunday and then lost all the value of the first-round pick. They still played Minkah Fitzpatrick. NFL teams, if you're able-bodied, they just play you. So and Ramsey reported today. They had him do a press conference and all that kind of stuff. Jacksonville's not acting like he's going to be inactive this week. And based on the information we have right now, they're not training in the next 48 hours. I think it's a pretty clear yes that Jalen Ramsey is going to play, but it is going to be something to track. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. We will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.